announced last Wednesday about Richard's test and things he was going to go through. Betty said yesterday he got results back from his blood test, so they all showed good. He went for his mammogram, and he got a joke and a laugh out of that. That showed okay. Some calcium deposits is what that showed. And so he's waiting for his MRI Friday. So we'll pray for good results there. Let's have a prayer this evening. Jason, would you lead us in an opening prayer? Still talking about authority and evangelism tonight. We'll just go through the fill in the blank and what does the scriptures say in that section and talk about some of the verses as we get to them. Somebody read number one for us. Okay, and these scriptures that he puts in this section here, they're all from the old King James, so some of the wording is a little different than what we maybe are used to. We talked a little bit Sunday about this passage. He says, I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. The new King James says how you should conduct yourself. What's the idea of behaving in the church? It's like parents of little children, you tell them to sit down and be quiet and not run in the church building and all those types of things. What's the idea of behaving in church?
Like we live.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a conduct that is expected of us as children of God. Just as we as parents expect our children to behave in a certain way, to do certain things, to behave themselves or conduct themselves, our Heavenly Father also has a code of conduct that He expects us to live by. And so Paul is giving instructions to Timothy here how he should conduct or how he should live his life as a Christian. Number two.
And send forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch.
Okay. We looked at that passage Sunday as one of the examples of how going and spreading the gospel is done. You church can send an individual, and here's an example of church in Antioch or church in Jerusalem sending Barnabas to Antioch. Number three. Okay. We didn't talk a lot Sunday about the term fellowship, but here Paul says he thanks God for this church in Philippi, and he says, for your fellowship. What's the idea of fellowship? That's one of those words I think sometimes gets changed in translation over time. And how does... A sharing And how did the church in Philippi share with Paul? Yeah, they sent some physical support to Paul to help him. And so in that sense of the word, they had fellowship. If you go back and look at the bulletin board out here on the left, we have some letters from preachers that this church sends to. We have fellowship with each of those men in those different areas. So the church at Philippi had fellowship, had a sharing, had a things in common with Paul and the gospel. And so again, that's another example of how we can go and spread the word. We can send a preacher, we can pay a preacher in another location to do that work. Number four.
Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants.
Okay, and we talk about this one Sunday again, that Epaphroditus was considered as a brother in Christ, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier. He was a help to Paul. And Philippi had a hand in that, sending him as their messenger to Paul. Number five.
Now you Philippians know that the beginning of the gospel, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving.
Okay. Again, another example of a congregation sending to the needs of a preacher. Paul said, in the very beginning, the Philippians were the only one to send a need to Paul. Number six.
For from you sounded out the word of the Lord.
Okay. Did you find that one, Chris? Okay. What's the next one?
Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went out everywhere preaching the word.
Okay. That was number six in my book. Okay. And there again, as we talked Sunday, the Christians that were persecuted when they left and went other places and they got scattered and went, they took the word with them. So individuals can spread the gospel. Individuals can fulfill that responsibility of taking the gospel and going to the rest of the world. The next one. Okay. So as Saul went about preaching and spreading the gospel. And the next one.
He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. How can you speak boldly in the name of the Lord? Confidently? What gives us that confidence? The authority. Yeah. Rodney. Yeah. As we talked in some of the other classes before, this book we have in front of us, and we've looked at several passages earlier, that is the Word of God, what we have in our hands, the very words that God Himself breathed. And so they've been recorded for us. And so when we talk about a subject, whatever that subject may be, if it's marriage or acts of worship or whatever, we can speak with great boldness. We can speak with great authority because we have God's word here. And as long as we speak these words, we can have that confidence. That's not saying that Paul had an arrogance about him, but he had a confidence. He had to, he could speak boldly because he had God's word to present. Mo? Yeah. Yeah, when you're being confronted with false doctrine, yeah, there comes a time for great boldness to stand boldly on the Word of God, not to be ashamed of those things. Rodney? Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be our wisdom or our speech that's going to convert them. It's going to be God's word. That's right. Good point. Anybody else? Todd? Same thing, we go back to the 12 with Christ. He had them daily for 3 years, training them. Yeah. And so when he was gone, who better to turn loose on the world than those 12? Yeah, good point. Anybody else? Okay, next question. Okay. That's number 11 in my book. Yeah, again, the idea of being able to, having the authority there to pay a preacher to do his work. God said he is to be paid by the gospel and live by the gospel. Mo? They may not pay their preachers, but they pay their, we used to call them elders. I forget what term they use for them now. They're missionaries, they call them. One of my neighbors is a Mormon, and they're careful not to call them elders anymore. They refer to them as missionaries, and they'll pay them. Yeah. Anybody else? Now, is that the last question in your search of scriptures? Okay, I still have two that's not. Next one, then.
Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to your own flock, which the Holy Ghost made you overseer.
Okay. Again, talking about the eldership there. The elders' authority has been limited, as we talked Sunday, with the idea of evangelism, spreading the gospel. We'll get to those situations later. The sponsoring church arrangement and the missionary society, how they've taken the elders' authority and spread them across to other congregations. But here, God is very specific about taking heed of the flock that is among you and be the overseer there. The next question. Was that the last one? Okay.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof.
Okay, again, another passage that shows the limitations of the eldership. It's strictly between those that are among you. Okay, on the brief answers, first question he asked, does the church have a work of evangelism? Very simply put, yes. We've been talking about that. So the church has been given the responsibility to evangelize. And what did we say evangelism was? Yeah. And what they're to preach has been specifically mentioned by God, to take the gospel, the good news of Christ, to those. And so evangelism is spreading the gospel, spreading the good news. And the church has been given that responsibility. Question two, by what means of authority may be cited to establish the fact that the church is to preach the gospel? So if somebody asked you, where's your authority, what scripture would you use to show that we're supposed to spread the gospel? Okay. Yeah. When we talked Sunday about what it means to be the pillar in the ground, the support of the truth of God. So that's a passage there that if we could use. Is there any other passages? Acts 11:22. Yeah. Yeah, there's Rodney. Yeah, what we refer to as the Great Commission. Yeah, there are several passages we could use to show that we do have authority to go out and spread the gospel. What constitutes the pattern of God has given regarding the local church and its work of evangelism? Yeah, every instance that we looked at Sunday when we were talking about the pattern, it showed that church sending directly to that man, not to the church, and then them paying the preacher. We did that with Ken Sills. We were supporting him at Crawfordsville. And when he had to leave Crawfordsville for his wife's health issues, we were supporting the man, not the work at Crawfordsville. So as he went to Alabama, we still support Ken there. So the church sends directly to the man and not to the congregation. That's the pattern in the scriptures. What organization was involved in the work of evangelism in apostolic times? Nothing but the church, yeah. That was the only organization that was established. God authorized the church as being that to spread the gospel. Has God told us how the church did its work of evangelism? Again, the answer is yes. He's given us many examples, and we looked at several of those Sunday. So, yeah, he's not just left it up to our discretion and how we feel about it, but he's been very specific about how it's being done. And then the last question, is there a difference between the individual and the church in the work of evangelism? naturally, yeah. The individual can do things that the church itself cannot do. So there is a difference between what the individual himself can do and what the church collectively can do. Any questions over that section? Kendra, talk time. First question, he says, be prepared to discuss the direct statement which shows that the church has a work of evangelism. And I'm assuming he's using the passage that Mo cited there. Somebody want to turn to 1 Timothy 3:15 and read that passage for us? Okay, what makes that a direct statement? How is that a direct statement there? Okay. They're instructions from God. It's very specific, isn't it? Yeah. He says, I'm writing to you specifically, that you are the pillar and the ground of truth. You as the church, collectively, are the pillar and the ground of truth. A responsibility has been given directly to us. And so as members of that church, that's what we are. And we need to take that responsibility and understand that it's our job, it's our responsibility to carry out this commission. It's not something that, we'll let Mo do it for us. You know, it's been given to each of us as individuals. Collectively, together, we are that support and pillar. Chris?
I get the word support and pillar, but where does the pillar to evangelize? I don't understand why you said the pillar to evangelize.
If the church doesn't do it, it won't happen.
Yeah. But that verse doesn't say that. I don't disagree with you. I just don't. What do you think of this verse for that?
Indirectly, it does.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the word that we talked about earlier. My version says how you ought to conduct yourself. And I think the old King James says how you should behave yourself. That's an action word. And what are we acting on? We're the pillar and the ground of truth, and we've talked about what the truth is. And so as the church, we have a behavior, we have a lifestyle to live, things we need to be doing as Christians. And you go all the way back to the Great Commission. Christ gave us that commission as members of that church, as that body, to preach and spread the gospel. So as Mo says, it doesn't just come out and say specifically those words. But Timothy is studying to be a Jerome. Timothy's trying to become a preacher of the gospel, a spreader of the good news. Yeah. Anybody else? That. Yeah, teach others that they can teach and spread. Yeah. Yeah, it's a progression. Anybody else? Judy?
On page 68 in the outline where it's talking about giving the direct statement, what it says there under one kind of helps me to see where the truth is spread. She holds up it and displays the gospel to the world.
No.
We're going to have to break down and get you a little bit.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, question two on the talk time. There are examples of New Testament churches doing the work of evangelism. Be prepared to cite these examples. And he got three blank spaces here. What are three examples that we talked about Sunday that shows how the work of evangelism was done? Okay, the church at Jerusalem was one of the examples we looked at when they sent Barnabas.
Philippi.
And how did Philippi fulfill their... Yeah, they sent money to Paul. And what's the third one? Okay, Thessalonica. Corinth, Macedonia. Yeah, there are several examples we looked at Sunday. So we do have Bible examples to show how New Testament churches fulfilled their responsibility of spreading the gospel. Discuss the local church sending out a gospel preacher. Which church serves as an example of this? We just talked about sending Barnabas, you know, the church at Jerusalem. Is that example of how a church can send out somebody? And then he asks the question, can a local church today select and send out a man to preach the gospel? Well, obviously, yes. You know, he seemed like maybe an oversimplified question, but he's trying to get people to understand we can do the very same thing that the New Testament did. And that's how we fulfill these responsibilities. It's not rocket science. We see an example in the scriptures. We can do that. We can do that today. So as Jerusalem chose Barnabas to send him out, you know, if there's a need for whatever, wherever, Danville can select a man and send him there as well. So the local church can do the same thing that Jerusalem did. The local church may support a preacher while he preaches in another city. I'll give an example from the New Testament that shows that. Yeah, when Paul was in Corinth, other churches sent to his need. And so congregations can send directly to a preacher. And then he asks the question again, may we do this today? The obvious answer is yes. Again, we can do the same thing that New Testament churches did, and we can still fulfill our responsibilities, and that's why examples were given. What passage shows that several churches can send to the same preacher? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8. Paul said, I robbed other churches, plural. And so many, many churches, multiple churches can send to the same person. And again, he asked a simple question, may this be done today? Yeah, sure can. Maybe we don't have enough money to send to a man to support him full time. So, but we can help in that. Again, if you look at the letters out here, the preacher, when he sends a report back, he'll usually put down at the bottom of that report, so much from this congregation, so much from this one, so much from this one. Again, the same pattern is being used today. Many churches can send to the same person so he can fulfill his responsibility and we can fulfill ours. Discuss how the church sent the New Testament preacher in the New Testament pattern. And what was the pattern in the New Testament? Yeah, directly. Just very simply, directly. Be prepared to show the difference in between how the New Testament churches did their work and how some churches today do. And he's talking about there in question, on my book, it's question 8, what is the sponsoring church arrangement? Did anybody look into the sponsoring church? How that works? Mo? His next question, before we comment on what you just said, Mo explained about the sponsoring church. What's the missionary society? Okay. Yeah. If you read any of the church history, back in the time was referred to as the Restoration time, these missionary societies were already being established by denominations, and they would set up an organization, and in that organization they would have their own board of directors, their own people that oversaw the work. That would collect all the money, and then they would make decisions on what to do with it. And so they worked as a business. They were set over here, and then all these churches would funnel money into them. And so that was being used by the denominational world. And members that were trying to stand for truth, they could see that wasn't right. Well, that's another organization. And so they didn't want to participate in that. But somebody comes up with the idea that Mo just mentioned, the sponsoring church arrangement. And how did the sponsoring church arrangement organize themselves? Anybody doing research and study on that? What did it?
One church took the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't change being a church. They didn't go outside and make another organization. So they had the church, just say, a big church. And so it's set up. They got elders, preachers, deacons. And so they come up with the idea that, well, we need to help this man over in wherever, out in Texas. But we just don't have the money to do it. But like Mo said, if Traders Point would send us some money, Plainfield sent us some money, Belleville sent us some money, and we start sending money all everybody over here, and we all get it together, well, we can send a big bunch of money over here. And people bought into that because it wasn't called a missionary society. It still functioned basically the same as a missionary society, but it just wasn't called that. And we talked a few weeks ago about people that were able to speak so convincingly and could sell people a bill of goods. People in the church bought into that concept until someday somebody started saying, what's the difference in what we're doing and what they're doing? Just because it's not called by that same name, it's still set up the same way. The New Testament pattern is we send directly to the preacher, not to a church, and then they decide who to send the money to. And so they say that's when the division and the split came, what we refer to as the liberal churches, conservative churches. So in the 40s and 50s in this country, you know, there was another issue that came up, the institutional issue. And so what he's trying to get us to see in this book, like Mo said, there is a pattern. There is a right way to do it. Nobody will argue that about evangelism. Everybody agrees that needs to be done. You can't argue with that. But how is it done? Yeah. And it comes back so simply to what we talked about earlier with Nadab and Abihu. Yeah. They were going to offer sacrifices, and they had to offer fire. But there was a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. They chose the wrong way to do it, and they paid the price. And that's what this guy here is trying to get us to understand. There's a right way to do it. And it may sound so elementary, but the gospel is simple. It's not complicated. The church has been given responsibility to evangelize. And we can turn to the scriptures and show this church chose Rodney to send him to Terre Haute. That's the way it's done. Jerusalem did that with Barnabas. There was a need over in Antioch. We'll take Barnabas, we'll send him over there. That's the New Testament pattern. And so his simple question is, can we do it today? Well, yes, we can do it today. They did it, and we can do it. And so that's what he's trying to get us to understand. There is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. So the sponsoring church arrangement came about to imitate the missionary society. We talked about some of those things earlier in some of our other classes, that churches today will imitate how denominations get their crowds to come in. Well, the idea is, well, it works for them, it can work for us. And so people buy into that concept. But there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And so there is a New Testament pattern on how to do evangelism. On the true and false, real quickly, number one. Is the New Testament a perfect, complete guide? Yeah. Very true. Again, the idea is that's all we need. We got everything we need right here. It's a perfect guide. Number two, we must have authority for everything we do. Yeah. There are several examples of sponsoring churches in the New Testament. Well, false. There's not. There's not a concept of that. In the New Testament examples, there was never an organization between the church supplying the money for the gospel preaching and the preacher. Yeah. The church was the only organization. The churches in the New Testament did their work of evangelism without missionary societies or the sponsoring churches. Yeah. Very simply, yes, they did. The church is still sufficient an organization to do the work of evangelism. Yeah. When it's set up and running as God wants it done, the church is perfect. The church is enough to get the work done. And that's, again, maybe oversimplifying things, but when God laid down the pattern, here's what I want my people to do, and here's how I want my people to do it. And it can get done. And so that's all we need is what God has given us. Well, I appreciate your comments, and about out of time, so...